Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Let's welcome in Travis Brown, senior Texas A&M sports writer for KBTX out there in Bryan College Station. And Travis, I don't remember a game that changed my perception of a team more than the game against Missouri did for Texas A&M. Coming into that game, I thought, okay, they're okay. They're pretty good. You know, they may be a little bit better than they were a season ago. Now I look at them and say, well, if they handle their business, they could be in the college football playoff. They could challenge for the conference championship. I know the short answer is the quarterback was healthy. What's the long answer to why A&M was so much more impressive in that game?
Yeah, it was definitely the most complete game that they've put together since probably the 2020 season. But even then, I think the offense is has a little more firepower than it did in 2020. There's a couple things going on here. I think the offensive line is greatly improved from the past 2 years. Coach Adam Cushing has come in with Mike Elko. They brought in a couple of transfers, Armaj Reed Adams, Coley Fayu at center, really kind of solidified things going on there. And that's been a big boost not only for the running game, which Le'Veon Moss has been at the top of the SEC for the last couple of weeks, A&M's running back, but it's given either A&M quarterback a good amount of time in the pocket to work through his progressions and have a clean pocket to work from. So I think a lot of it does start from the offensive line. And then defensively, it's the defensive line. They've put a lot of pressure on opposing quarterbacks, have a lot of really talented guys back there. And it's been a the cliche is everything starts in the trenches, and that's, I think, exactly where the success has started for A&M this season.
And that's going to be a problem this weekend because Mississippi State's weaknesses lie in the trenches. You know, Connor Wiegman, I thought, you know, playing the first game, he was not good. He was just not good in that first game against Notre Dame, and I don't think anybody would disagree with that. But he was outstanding this two Saturdays ago against Missouri. Is that performance replicable? Is that what we can expect to see going forward with him? I know that's what the coaches would like over there. You know, is that the ceiling kind of performance for him?
Well, you know, from the limited amount of Connor Wiegman we were able to see in the years prior, it's more akin to that. That's a little bit, maybe we hadn't seen that kind of performance, but it skewed more towards that side of things than the Notre Dame game. That seemed to be the exception to the rule, whereas the Missouri performance is a little bit more of kind of what everybody expected from him this season. And so I think that is replicable because I think that's who he is as a quarterback. You know, when Marcel Reed was doing well and winning, you know, three ball games for A&M through the middle, there's a lot of question about, well, when Connor Wiegman gets healthy, you know, is there going to be a big decision to make? And Mike Elko always stuck with the fact that they're both good quarterbacks, but Connor Wiegman hands out won the job during fall camp. And I think that proved why is that he had that ceiling that right now available to him that what he did against Missouri. So I think this is what the coaching staff and A&M fans were expecting from him. And I think that that's probably going to be what carries over into the through the rest of the season.
It's kind of an interesting thing for Mississippi State, how they're going to attack Texas A&M when they have the ball. And that's, you know, State can get passes down the field, and A&M has been susceptible to giving up some big plays in the passing game, but State has been so weak up front, I don't know that they can give Michael Van Buren the time he's going to need to hit those big plays. The Texas A&M defensive line, you mentioned it. And I mean, this is where all of that recruiting was the past few years. Obviously, Walter Nolan is headed out, but three of these guys are A&M, you know, have been at A&M their whole career, and then you bring in the transfer Nick Scorton, who's just been outstanding for the Aggies this year. This is about as good a group as you'll find in the SEC. Do they have depth at that position as well? I mean, I know the starters are good, but are they, you know, 6, 7, 8 deep if you can get into this game with them?
Oh, for sure. Especially in the interior, they have Albert Regis. They have Gabriel Brownlow Dindy. I mean, the interior linemen they run 4 to 5 deep. On the edge, they have Nick Scorton. They have Shamar Stewart, the two you mentioned. They have the guys who they run out there as their jack linebackers or jack position of Rylan Kennedy and Cassius Howell, who both are edge rushers too in their right. They can float those guys in on the end of the line. They can use them kind of on third down. It Their third down defense sometimes resembles more of like a 3-3, and they have that one or 3-4, and they have that one linebacker kind of floating around, coming at different angles, and that's that jack position. And so, yeah, they're every bit as good and deep as any defensive front in the conference.
One thing we do on the podcast every week when we're doing our preview is we predict a player called an X factor. Not necessarily the guy you think will have the best game on offense or best game on defense. Maybe somebody a little bit off the radar who you could see having a hand in this in a win for Texas A&M. Who would that player be for the Aggies?
I'm gonna go with, and it's kind of not super off the radar, but I'm gonna go with Will Lee, the cornerback. He leads the conference in pass breakups, and has been really, really excellent for A&M in the defensive secondary. I think, as you mentioned before, if there's any hope for Mississippi State staying in this game, it's gonna be because they got some chunk plays through the passing game. And like you said, A&M has been susceptible to the busted coverage every now and then. They have the talent out there. It's just sometimes the communication goes bad, and they have the busted coverage. Now, none of those have really come from Will Lee, but I think he's kind of become the anchor out there on the defensive secondary, and has been the guy that they match up against when they're in man against the top receiver. So I think the defensive secondary and Will Lee are going to be pretty big in this game. If they can lock it down, I don't see Mississippi State having really any of a chance.
Then I'm going to steal something that we do every week on Sports Talk Mississippi. We do a segment called Two Questions, so I'm just going to ask them both to you. What does Texas A&M have to do to win this game on Saturday?
Yeah, I think establish the run. I mean, which is something they've been able to do for most of the season this year, because if they can establish the run, it takes a lot of pressure off Connor Wegman, who's coming back from injury, even though he did have that big game. It, gets the offensive line in a groove. Most of those guys are they prefer run blocking. That's kind of their specialty. And so I think establishing the run will be good. And they've had a really good streak of winning the turnover margin, winning the turnover battle. And if they keep that going, I mean, that's always the recipe for a win.
And then the second question is obviously the inverse of that. What does A&M have to avoid if they want to win this game?
Busted coverages, especially when they're in zone. They've had some difficulty. Tyreek Chappell was their starting nickel, a really veteran guy who's been around here for a long time. He is hurt. He'll be out for the game, and he's going to be out for a while, is what Mike Elko said. Yeah, who they've been able to, a lot of the busted coverages and some of the issues have come from the guys that they've been rotating in to try to find that next guy at nickel. If they can kind of solidify that and find a guy coming out of the bye week who has been able to communicate better and really can nail down the position, that's going to be big. But they have been prone to the busted coverage about, once a game or so, and that could turn the game on its head depending on where it comes in this game.
Only a couple of minutes left. One thing I said earlier this week was that, if Jimbo Fisher is still the coach at Texas A&M, when they lose that game to Notre Dame, I think it becomes a situation where everybody's saying, "Oh no, here we go again." The fact that it was Mike Elko allowed the team to regroup and rebuild itself and get back to where they want it to be. Do you agree with that assessment that if Jimbo Fisher had still been in College Station, that loss could have gotten a little further down the road, whereas with Mike Elko was able to have a quicker turnaround?
I think yes. I think the culture is definitely different. I think there's a little bit more attention to detail. There's a little bit more kind of focus on toughness and effort, especially in practice. I think the place to really look at that is the way that they fought back to hold on to that lead and win the Bowling Green game just a few weeks later, because that was a game. Bowling Green is a pretty good program. They took Penn State to the wire, and coming off that Notre Dame loss, if they came into that game sleepwalking or licking their wounds for a couple weeks, that would have that could have turned sideways quickly, and then you're really looking at a weird season, not too different from a couple of years ago when the Aggies lost to App State. So I think you are correct. I think there is a different culture under Mike Elko that is enabled to bounce back a little bit quicker.
Should be a very interesting game. State could definitely use it, but A&M's a heavy favorite for a reason. Travis Brown, KBTX Sports, really appreciate your time, man. Thanks a lot.
You got it anytime.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.